Welcome to the Rotary Community Heroes of Hope. I'm your host, Judy Zulfikar, and I'm thrilled to be joined by my amazing co-host, Jamie Zinn, District Governor of Rotary District 5330. Together, we will take you on a journey to discover the incredible impact Rotarians have on our community and around the world. Get ready to be inspired by our Rotary Heroes of Hope.
Good morning, Judy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. I'm so excited to be here today with our wonderful Peace Scholars.
Yes, we're looking forward to speaking to Chantel, and we have with us today one of our past district governors, Rudy Westervelt. So welcome, Rudy. And if you could take a minute and just introduce yourself, talk a little bit about your experience with Rotary, and let us know a little bit about Chantel.
Great to be with you today. And I'm Rudy Westervelt, as Jamie mentioned, a past district governor in 5330 in the 2015-16 Rotary year. And for some reason, I got involved in Peace, which became a Rotary National President's Peace Conference in 2016, and then 4 years later again in 2020. From the first Peace Conference, we formed the Rotary E-Club of World Peace, and now we have members in that club, including Chantel, in 26 states and 9 countries across the world.
Rudy, I'm going to stop you there because, you know, a lot of times people know Rotary as a bunch of community leaders that go have lunch somewhere and then kind of do philanthropy in their communities. What is an e-club?
Okay, so an e-club is an online Rotary club. We meet on Zoom every Tuesday evening. And so there are about 400 e-clubs around the world. We were probably the first e-club that came in with a theme-based e-club, and we've grown our membership to nearly 90 members now from 26 that we started with in 2016.
That's exciting that anyone from around the world literally could be a member of your Rotary Club. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. We have members in Serbia, Israel, Jordan, and many other countries around the world. So we are quite connected, and certainly right now we are very connected in the Middle East and working on some things that, as well as with Mediators Beyond Borders International, who's a partner with Rotary, and we have the CEO of that organization as a member of our club.
That's fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit too about, because you are an e-club, you don't have the speakers that are here right, you know, on premise, if you will. Tell us, how do you go about getting your speakers, and what kind of speakers do you have in your club?
We have speakers that take on very topical issues, and including a week ago, we had a speaker that talked about the history of the Middle East and what's going on today in that region. But we're not afraid to take on major issues that are happening in the world today. But we, in fact, my wife Karen and I are the programs chair for our club. And so if you go on our website, RotaryClubOfWorldPeace.org, you'll see up there our weekly speakers, as well as recordings from every meeting we've had since June of 2016, of every meeting. And we reach out and get, again, like I said, very topical speakers here. And one of those is coming up as an awardee that we award every year, a person that has worked a lifetime trying to achieve peace in the world. And Kenneth Cloak, who was the founder of Mediators Beyond Borders International, happens to live over in Santa Monica, is our current awardee. And coming up in December, he'll be speaking to our club in January. So we invite people to join us online every Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. We also have an additional meeting once a month, so it's a better time for our international members to meet with us instead of trying to get online at 3 o'clock in the morning. And so we do that. So we have folks that are over in Europe and Middle East to be able to join us.
And that leads us right into what we're actually here to talk about today, which is our Peace Scholar Program. Can you talk a little bit about what is the Peace Scholar Program in Rotary?
I believe our Peace Centers program and scholarship program is the crown jewel of what we do in Rotary. It is very central and core, meaning we're peace through service, but we're connecting and educating new peacemakers, peace builders around the world. We have actually 7 peace centers. We have 5 that are master's programs. The one in the United States happens to be at Duke UNC. We have one in Uppsala, Sweden, Bradford, England, International Christian University in Japan, Queensland University in Australia, and then our certificate programs are the newest one is in Makerere in Uganda. And of course, one of our members, Scott Martin, who's a Peace Fellow and a member of our club, has been teaching classes over in there. And what's interesting about that is at that university and certificate program, this is a peace center for Africans. And so from all over the continent of Africa, students there come together to learn about how to build peace across that continent, which is really amazing. And then we also have a center down in Chula Longhorn in Thailand. That center is graduating its last class this year, and we'll be moving to a new location. And then our newest will open in 2025 in Istanbul, Turkey. And that was a program put on to try to create a center in the Middle East, either in North Africa or the Middle East. And the committee chose Istanbul.
Now, do you have to be a Rotarian or from a family of Rotarians to be a Peace Scholar?
No, you can't be probably one of those, a member and Peace Scholar if you're a Rotarian. So this is for non-Rotarians. They apply from all over the world to go into the program each year and are selected to go in. Each of these programs is a full paid ride in here. But the criteria are not only the education side, that they have to be prepared for this with a resume, but they have to have work experience out in the field in some subject areas in the field that would contribute to their ability to learn and then reapply this in the world. And the graduates there, now over 1,600, are doing amazing projects across the world. We are working with our Rotary Club and some folks in our Rotary Club to inspire them to take on and present and develop a Rotary global grant, that we could help them apply it in another country.
So if you're a Peace Scholar and attend one of these universities, is there a requirement for these individuals to come back and be a Rotarian and do certain requirements as a Rotarian because of, you know, this opportunity that they've been given?
They are not required no more than if we select a Global Scholar in some of our mm-hmm. programs in Rotary. They're not required to come back and be a Rotarian. Of course, we would certainly
hope that
welcome
they would
them
be,
back
right?
And,
yes.
and be open arms in that, as we have with Chantel and Scott Martin and certainly many others, graduates around the world that come together. There is, in Rotary International, an alumni association for our Peace Scholars. So they're able to connect together around the world and work on projects and communicate with each other to make a difference in the world.
And with that, we have the great opportunity of having a Peace Scholar here with us. Chantel, can you introduce yourself and tell us about how you learned about this great opportunity?
Thank you, Judy. So my name is Chantel Dirksen, married name Chantel Vo, so that's why you'll hear them interchanged. I first heard about this as a Peace Corps volunteer in Paraguay. It's a little unique. I think I was standing on the side of the road waiting for the bus to come, and I was chatting with our coordinator at the time, who is a third year Peace Corps volunteer. So Peace Corps is 2 years, 27 months, and then you have the opportunity to stay on for a third year as kind of the program coordinator or manager that oversees the volunteer. So I was chatting with our program coordinator at the time, and he was telling me about this wonderful opportunity that he had to study in Argentina in Spanish, thanks to Rotary International. And that was one of the peace centers at the time. And I thought, holy cow, if there's a way I can stay in this area and connected to my community and the work, then what do I need to do to apply? So that's where it first started. But and when I first heard about it, when I got back to the States, I started doing research on how I needed to apply. I had a faint idea of what Rotary was, but now that I've been involved as a Peace Fellow and a Rotarian, gosh, I wish I had known about it as a Peace Corps volunteer, because not only could you promote this program like Rotary, like Rudy was saying, for Rotary, but there's a lot of synergy there for what the mission of Peace Corps volunteers are there to do, which is community service projects and the mission of Rotary.
So how did you decide where you wanted to apply to, and what was your impetus of what you wanted to get out of the program?
Well, thank you, Jamie, for the question. So first, I knew I wanted to go to Argentina, and the application had to be completely in Spanish, which at that point wasn't a problem for me. And I had one of my program managers, who's Paraguayan, help refine my application. And that was just high level, making sure the grammar was correct and that I was conveying my intent through my resume. And I was selected. However, a couple months before we were supposed to arrive in Argentina to start the master's program, we were told it was closed. And they said, we will honor your scholarship because you were selected, but you have to reapply to one of the other centers. And without hesitation, I chose the University of Queensland because it was one of the oldest founding centers. And it was also a top tier university ranked globally. So that's where I decided to put my resume in for. And it was such a great experience. It was an international cohort. I think we had 8 countries represented. And I can go on to that a little bit in more detail if you'd like.
Absolutely. We'd like to learn what you studied in your Peace Scholar program.
So with the University of Queensland, it's a focus on conflict resolution and mediation, which was specific to that center. Some of the others were more international project development, international program management. So this was really like, how do you resolve conflicts in cultural settings? So we had the Vietnamese Ministry of Foreign Affairs actually sends their own scholars to this program. So we had this international cohort from around the world that was really fascinating. We studied ethics and human rights. So that was, how would you, as this international body, come together and come up with your own top 10 list of what human rights should be, and how hard that is? Because if you say everyone has right to a free education, well, then there's the who, what, where, when, and why. It's okay, that's great, but
how do you make it happen? Yeah,
right. So now, when you start talking, okay, if you know this new human right is going to come up, well, then how do you encompass it? So with that international political theory, with you know the different ideologies that influence how decisions are made, and with the relationships between states. And also mediation. So I became a certified mediator as a result of that program. So there's a lot of different avenues you could take, research and analysis, which was the other big component of the way I chose to apply the master's program was my other goal.
So after you finish the master's program, and obviously you've talked about, you know, the mediation part, what did you end up deciding to do with that? How are you currently applying all that you learned?
I'm going to step back really quickly, because one part of the master's program is what we call applied field experience. And I was looking at the UN because I really wanted to see how they operate. And so I was applying at various centers across the Middle East, across Southeast Asia, and across the South Pacific, just looking for someone that might have a fit for me. And I heard back from 2 centers, but the first one that responded to me was the person responsible for conflict resolution programs in Fiji in the South Pacific. So I feel like I scored really big, because
not a bad not place only, to go. Yeah.
Right. No, not at all. But her background was, she has a master's degree in peace and conflict resolution as well. And she studied with a gentleman by the name of John Paul Lederach. And if you're versed in the literature around conflict resolution and peace building, he is a very key player in the field. So it was an honor to be working under her as a manager, having her as my manager for 3 months. And we did research and analysis. I got to look at case studies that the UN would send her. And she said, can you take a look at this for me? And I got to help develop and refine some of the literature that they actually use for their own publications. So it was a really interesting experience. And I say that because I think anyone that's looking at international organizations, and you may be not sure where you want to fit in, I think that applied field experience is so crucial to what this program can offer. So I just wanted to add that in as a caveat.
That's a huge part of it, because, you know, theory is theory, but you really need to put it to work and put it into action. And it was great that this included that as part of your studies.
Absolutely. And Judy, what was really nice about this is that it's funded. So they give you a stipend, so that if you apply for a nonprofit program or with an organization such as the UN, or if you're American, maybe the US State Department, they don't necessarily pay you a stipend. And so Rotary subsidizes that cost. So that allows you to branch out. Maybe you want to work with more of a grassroots NGO with refugees in the field. And now you have the subsidy to help you pay for your living expenses, which is really nice.
So where do you see your next steps from here?
I've just recently moved from the not-for-profit sector over to the corporate sector. And I've pivoted a bit with data privacy and technology. And that started out because I was working with a company called ICANN, Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. And I see you nodding. I'll just mention for people that are listening. So ICANN maintains, if you think of the internet as having a phone book company or a post office, where ICANN's the post office or ICANN's the phone book. You want to make sure that when you type in an internet address that it goes to where it's expected to go to. And there's ex-diplomats that work for ICANN. There's a lot of government officials from the European Commission, from different heads of state that send representatives to ICANN. And you also have the tech sector, you have businesses, you have civil society. So it's this multi-stakeholder model. So that was my first real step into kind of pivoting after the program. Now that I'm about 10 years out, I've recently pivoted over to data privacy. And the reason why I think that's so unique is because it has roots in human rights. And that kind of goes back to the point I made about some of the classes that the master's program at Queensland at least offered was, how do you develop human rights? Well, do you have a right to data privacy? How do you protect your own data? And then if you think about that in an international perspective, what about protesters? What about someone who's advocating for civil rights? How do you protect that data on social media platforms for a company? And so it's really interesting to start getting my feet wet. I took a few certifications. And so to take this body of knowledge I have of political theory, human rights and ethics, and a background in international development, and starting to look at these emerging issues around technology and human rights, it's been fascinating. But that's where I'm at now, and that's where I'm starting to see myself going for probably the next 5 to 10 years.
And what brought you back to Rotary? Because now you're part of Rudy's Club. How did you seek that out and decide to become a Rotarian after this experience?
So I first heard about Rudy from the very first World Peace Conference that was held back in 2016. And at that point, I wasn't a member yet. I was just wrapping up my first year as chair for the Los Angeles chapter of Mediators Beyond Borders. And I was getting married. And so there was just lots of things happening at the time. So I said, I can't become a Rotarian right now, but I'd like to in the future. Fast forward a couple years, there was a Rotarian past district governor of District 5300, Roger Schulte, who was one of my mentors and on my interview panel for the Peace Fellowship. And I was talking to him about wanting to join Rotary, but not really sure I could commit to a physical club because of my work schedule and family commitments. And then he reminded me that Rudy and a few others had started this e-club for world peace. And that just seemed like a natural fit. And I've been there ever since.
If there is a student out there, first of all, if my understanding is correct, and Rudy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the students that apply need to have their bachelor's degree. Is that correct?
Yes.
So if there's a student out there that is interested in world peace or any of the things that you discuss that they might study under the Rotary program, what advice, Chantel, would you give them?
I think, first of all, it helps to know why you're applying and what you want to achieve. And that's going to change. Like just like any master's degree or when you go to college, you start studying one thing or life circumstances happen and you pivot. So I'd say that's the first one. Second is get involved in your Rotary Club because they will provide a network of contacts that can either help you find the job or maybe open up opportunities for you to test those skills that you're learning while you're in the program.
Can you tell us, what do you think after this entire experience, what is the most valuable thing you have gained from this experience?
Academically, I was quite proud of the fact that I co-authored a book chapter with my thesis advisor. And that was a very big accomplishment academically and professionally for me. But the relationships, to be honest, the relationships with the other fellows, not only of my cohort, but the cohort before me and after me was invaluable. The ones that graduated before me were contacts for jobs and for me to say, help, I graduated, what do I do next? And you can celebrate with these colleagues as you go through the milestones after completing the program.
What is the next thing that you would like to do as a member of Rotary to help promote this program, to have a greater impact, and as Gordon has said, create hope in the world?
I like that Gordon's quote for creating hope in the world is something that I think all Rotarians are striving for, right? Personally, I'm a board member of Partnering for Peace, which is the collaboration that works on the MOU between Rotary and the US Peace Corps. And we have Rotarians that are founding members from that served in the Peace Corps in the 60s, right, when the Peace Corps was starting. And we have new and upcoming members that are just finishing the Peace Corps and are looking for a way to stay active. There are about 4 to 5 Rotary Peace Fellows that are also active in some form or fashion with Partnering for Peace. One working on efforts to bring relief to Ukraine, and using some of those networking skills and nonprofit backgrounds to raise funds. The other, not that Partnering for Peace raise funds, I know that's something we always have to say, but using those networks that Rotary provides. And we're also looking at ways to conduct outreach for the Peace Fellowship through Partnering for Peace, whether it's Peace Corps staff that might be eligible candidates. Maybe it are the host country nationals that partner and support the Peace Corps volunteers during service, or Peace Corps volunteers that are returning to the U.S. There's a couple different ways that we can look to educate about the program and to recruit the future cohorts.
Yeah, your journey has been really so inspiring. And I think for our listeners out there to be able to hear about these opportunities and to be able to make that difference in the world, I personally thank you for sharing your story today. It's very inspiring. And I look forward to watching you as you continue to grow in your career and work with Rotary. And I know we're going to see some amazing things from you.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you here. And as we wrap this up, Rudy, is there a website somebody can go to learn more about this? Maybe there's a parent or a student out there that would like to learn how to apply for the Peace Scholarship in our district and in our listening audience.
There is, of course. You can go to rotary.org, and there's ways to connect out there, and I'd be glad to share that with our clubs. I put together a peace program to go around to the clubs to speak on. In fact, I'm speaking at your club coming up here in December.
Yep.
About all the ways we create peace in the world. And part of that is for our Peace Center program. And I would be glad to speak out and reach out to any of our clubs out there to go through the criteria so they basically understand to go out and find students and people people that are in their area around their clubs that they could recommend to be Peace Fellows. We have had a couple of Peace Fellows from our district, and we want to have more. And so we need more applicants out there, and that's our goal in Rotary. In all the things we do in Rotary, we really do create peace around the world as we connect almost in every country and territory on the planet, as well as our work together in service in all our avenues of service and areas of focus that we do creating peace in the world. So I just thank you for allowing Chantel and I to come and join you today. And I welcome our Rotary clubs in our district to reach out to either one of us so that we can connect with you and help you make a difference in your community and grow our organization here as we grow and be peaceful in our communities here, in our schools, and around the world.
Well, wonderful. We appreciate you guys coming out and spending the time. It's a great story, and we look forward to spreading the word around our district.
Yes, thank you. And I hope you both have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that wraps up this episode of Heroes of Hope. We are so happy that we have an audience out there listening. We want you to subscribe, share, and tell your friends about the Rotary Community Heroes of Hope, because that's how we get the word out about the impact we're having in this world.